Wake up, America. It's Morning Air with John Morales.
Si, senor.
Sarah Tafoya.
Hey, that's my mom.
And Glenn Leverins.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day. This is Morning Air. On Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Wake up, America. It's Tuesday, November 22nd. Good morning and welcome back to another edition of Morning Air on the memorial of St. Cecilia, Virgin and Martyr. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverins. Our studio producer is Sarah Tafoya. Good to be with you on this Tuesday before Thanksgiving here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Today is the 59th anniversary of the assassination of President John F. Kennedy on Friday, November 22nd, 1963, at 12:30 p.m. Central Standard Time, while the 35th president was riding in a motorcade in downtown Dallas, Texas. Walter Cronkite of CBS News reported to our shocked nation.
From Dallas, Texas, the flash, apparently official, President Kennedy died at 1 p.m. Central Standard Time, 2 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, some 38 minutes ago. Vice President Lyndon Johnson has left the hospital in Dallas, but we do not know to where he has proceeded. Presumably, he will be taking the oath of office shortly and become the 36th President of the United States.
It was one of the most traumatic events in U.S. history 59 years ago today. Want to bring in our Morning Air team, Glenn and Sarah. Glenn, what are a few of the big stories making headlines here on this Tuesday morning, this Tuesday before Thanksgiving?
Well, John, kind of a holiday week here for a lot of folks, so some of the news a little lighter. The World Cup, first match for the U.S., a draw with Wales in the opener, 1-1. And the next match coming up Friday against England. So we may well be back to American football cheering by the weekend.
Yes, indeed. Well, the Americans look good, especially early on. They got out to the early 1-0 lead. But overall, it was a disappointment to lose it on a shootout late in the game. According to many of the experts, the U.S. dominated this game. They should have won it, but they get another chance against England in what should be a must-win game coming up on Friday.
Meanwhile, we'll be doing some battling at the supermarket this week, perhaps getting the other things. Your turkey should be thawing by now for Thanksgiving if you're eating on Thursday. But prices are up. Turkey prices up 24%, John.
Wow. Yeah, that's a lot. I mean, just put it in perspective. That's almost a fourth more than we were paying last year. And I understand that Thanksgiving dinner overall is up around 20%. So, yeah, we have a lot to be thankful for this Thanksgiving, as always, but it's going to cost a little bit more.
You know, I think it wouldn't be hard for us as Americans to maybe eat maybe 24% less at Thanksgiving, and our bellies would probably still be full. So I think maybe we could just maybe downsize a little bit on the amount that we're eating. I know everyone has their favorite things that have to be on the table, but maybe we don't make as big of a recipe, or maybe we take one of them out, or maybe we don't have five desserts. I know there's always so much to be thankful for and so much food that maybe we just dial it back a little, and we might be at the same price range. We have to be creative, don't we?
20% less stuffing, maybe?
I think we'd be stuffing our face a little bit less. I think that'll work.
Well, how about, 20% more stuffing and less of some of the other things you don't like as much? I mean, I think it's really a matter of we have to focus on the parts that we really like,
So. Yeah, 20% less green beans, maybe, right? Like, there we could skip on those. Nobody, some people like the green beans, so let's not give them a hard time.
Well, the turkeys are thawing as we speak, but a lot of folks are getting ready, if they haven't already, for the big travel day, which I believe is coming up tomorrow.
Yeah, one of the busiest travel days of the year, and they calculate how many people, 50 to 60 million traveling more than 50 miles to get to that that turkey and see their loved ones. But also thinking, guys, too, if, we're stymied by the cost of traditional Thanksgiving menu items, the Thanksgiving Peanuts special available on Apple TV or something in the next few days here. But we need to remember what those Peanuts characters had. This is their ingenious Thanksgiving meal consisted, I believe, of toast and jelly beans and popcorn. And so maybe if you need to augment the turkey, mashed potatoes, and stuffing, we could look to Charles Schulz Creations for some ideas.
Yeah, I think that's something that we probably already even have in our house. We wouldn't have to leave the house.
Well, there's nothing like these Charlie Brown specials for the different seasons, and the Thanksgiving one is always really a fun thing to do this time of year. So now you can watch it for free. I believe you can watch it for the rest of the week until Sunday on Apple TV for those who enjoy Apple TV.
And for those of you who enjoy maybe not just cartoons, but great jazz, it's a great way to introduce kids to the wonderful sounds.
Vince Guaraldi.
Exactly.
Vince Guaraldi, the man behind the all the great Peanuts songs.
Yeah. I love it. As always, we'll talk more turkey and peanuts coming up next hour. Begin every hour here on Morning Air, always in Thanksgiving, and especially as we approach Thanksgiving Day, always giving thanks to our Lord for all the many blessings through the intercession of the Mother of God, our Blessed Mother Mary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, patroness of the unborn and of relevant radio, pray for us. Saint Joseph, patron of the Universal Church, pray for us. St. John Paul II, co-patron of Relevant Radio, pray for us. And we always invoke the Holy Spirit whenever we pray. Come, Holy Spirit, come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our power scripture from the Playbook of Life this morning is from Matthew 24, 42 and 44. Jesus the Lord says, "Watch therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." Our Lord Jesus Christ reminds us that we must be watchful. Christ says that no one knows the day or the hour, not the angels nor the Son, but only the Father. None of us know when the end of the world or the second coming of Christ will happen, but every one of us will face the end of our life when we will meet the Lord, the just judge. And we always pray with great confidence, Jesus, I trust in you. You can always find us on Twitter at Morning Air Show, as well as on Facebook. And of course, you can shoot us an email, morningair@relevantradio.com. This morning, if you want to be part of the program, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. And now, once again, it's time for another Tech Tuesday.
Ready to assist you. Okay.
Yes, indeed. We've been seeing Black Friday deals all last month. If you haven't done your Christmas shopping and you're thinking of getting a laptop or a tablet as a gift, you've come to the right place. Joining us live is our tech expert and longtime Morning Air contributor, Mark Mastriani, to talk about the latest trends and tech gifts this year to consider when you do your holiday shopping. Mark is a passionate Catholic dad, husband with 20-plus years of technology, new product development experience. For all things faith and tech, you can follow Mark on Twitter at GodLovesTech. Good morning, Mark. Thanks so much for joining us on another Tech Tuesday. It's great to be with you, especially on this Tuesday before Thanksgiving.
Thank you, and all glory and praise be to God. Thanks, Tech Tuesday. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. As I mentioned, you know, there's been all kinds of deals, and we've talked about this in the past, you know, especially here in anticipation of Black Friday. But some folks are thinking of perhaps buying some technology gifts. Can you talk about some of the best laptops to buy here during this holiday season?
I sure can. So for those of you out there who have waited until Black Friday, you may have waited too long. Some of the bigger ticket items that aren't, that don't have as many discounts. Some of these best laptops or best devices are still going to be available in and through the next 2 weeks. But what we used to, what the retail industry used to use to drive sales on Black Friday and Cyber Monday in order to get their revenues in the black, that's how we got Black Friday in the first place, that is being spread over a longer period of time. So some of the best deals have been around for a while. Some of the best deals have been picked over, but some of the best technology is still available. So for example, there are still great laptops available for sale. If you didn't buy one for back to school time, if your devices didn't get replenished in 2020 with stimulus checks, then this is actually a very good time to buy a laptop. The technology has matured and the prices are pretty good. The MacBook Air and the MacBook Pro on the Apple side are wonderful laptops. They're light, they're powerful. What's also unique is because of Apple's silicon, the chips that they make themselves inside of the Apple laptops, their battery life is quite long. So if you're going on a trip and you need to be entertained or be productive, the Apple MacBook Air and MacBook Pro are excellent choices. On the Windows side, I don't get paid for this, but I do use myself a Dell XPS. Dell XPS 13 is the 13-inch size. The Dell XPS 15 is the 15-inch size. They're thin, they're powerful, and they're very reasonably priced going into Christmas. What's so interesting, John, is here we are in 2022, holiday season, Christmas, New Year, and Thanksgiving, and these devices were in they were being sold like they were going out of style in 2020 because of our stimulus checks. We couldn't go out and do experiences other than driving distance away from home, so we bought stuff. Then in 2021, because we bought so much stuff, the supply chain was constrained and there wasn't a whole lot of stuff to buy. Prices started to rise. So in 2022, we all decided to get out of our houses and go see each other and go see some beautiful places, maybe some holy sites around the world. And the prices are now coming back down because supply chain has reacted in a positive way. So it's a good time to buy a piece of technology for the one you love.
So, Mark, just to give us an idea, and obviously, you know, there's Mac people and there's Windows people, so it's a matter of preference, but what price range are we talking about for some of these most popular brands?
Sure. You can get what are called Chromebooks by Samsung and Acer. They're essentially a tablet with a keyboard on it. Those start around the $300 mark, and you can get a very good device if all you need to do is browse the web, do some email, be mostly a consumer of internet content. You know, Chromebooks and even iPads and Samsung Galaxy tablets are perfectly appropriate for someone who's just a nice, comfortable, sit in a comfortable chair, watch a different program than your loved one on the couch. Those are totally appropriate, and they're very accessible in the $200 to $400 range. When you're talking about these laptop computers, the MacBook Pro, MacBook Air, and Dell XPS Windows laptops, these are productivity tools. These are content creation. You're doing work. You want to be productive. And from time to time, you need to take a break. Those are in the $1,200, $1,300, $1,400 range. You're getting the highest end chips with the highest end radios so that you're productive anywhere at any time.
Any other models that perhaps one might want to at least take a look at?
Sure. On the laptop side, there's really good choices for gaming, like the Razer Blade 15 Advanced is excellent. for the gamers out there or the family and loved ones of gamers. What makes a gaming laptop different than a productivity or a business laptop? It's the chips used for graphics processing. The screens are a little bit more high resolution to see a lot of detail when the graphics of the games are in motion. So it's something to consider. The user of your laptop, are they a gamer? Take a look at the Razer Blade 15. On the Chromebook side, there's also great offerings, not only from, like I mentioned, Samsung. Lenovo has a great choice, a Flex 5 Chromebook. Google makes a Chromebook as well. Chromebook, by its name, Google Chrome is the browser that's used and the operating system that are used on all those products that are labeled Chromebook. And on a budget, there's a really good HP still makes laptops. HP still makes laptops called the HP Pavilion. It's a good, solid deal in the few hundred dollar range, just above those Chromebooks if you actually need to do some work, but want to stay within a good budget. The HP Pavilion Aero is a great choice.
What about the tablets? What should folks keep in mind? Obviously, you mentioned it briefly, but in terms of the most popular tablets that are out there, there's a number of choices.
You bet. Yeah, when productivity leaves the couch or the chair or the desk, there are great choices in tablets, but also in other wearable devices as well that we can touch on. So tablets. The iPads, we touched on this a couple weeks ago, are they're prolific number of choices to pick from. And my recommendation is still what it was a few weeks ago. Look at the entry-level iPads. They've increased their resolution, their cameras, their chips, around $400, unless you're an educator or a student, and that price drops a little bit to $325, $350 range for educators. But the iPad is a great mobile, slick productivity and entertainment tool. On the Android side, you have great choices from Samsung. And on the horizon in 2023, little teaser, there is a Google Pixel tablet coming that allows you to walk between your Google Pixel Watch, your Google Pixel phone, and a Chromebook to pick up your Google Pixel tablet. That's coming in 2023. Speaking of some other products that are you can stand up and walk away and still have notifications and some information, the Apple Watches, also there's so many of them. Just 5 years ago, this was a brand new phenomenon. We were covering it here on Tech Tuesday. What is a wearable device? Why would I want to put a computer on my wrist? Well, now we know that there's some health benefits, sleep tracking, standing up and sitting down for those like myself with a small back injury that really helps me to not be in any one position for long periods of time. I can get a gentle reminder from my wearable device. Well, which of the Apple Watches should I pick? The Apple Watch SE, SE for Special Edition, has been on sale for many Black Friday sales in the $150 range, and it does most of the features of the rest of the Apple Watch line. Only if you really need, if you're a serious athlete that you really want to challenge yourself on a daily basis and push yourself with prompts from a watch with more integration to your health and fitness, would you start to consider an Apple Watch Series 8, the newest flagship Apple Watch? That's up in the $300 range. And then if you're an extreme support person like you, John, up in the mountains, mountaineering, blazing trails in the Himalayas, the Apple Watch Ultra was designed for you. at $800.
It's fascinating. You know, I've seen that some young kids don't want to wear any kind of watches at all. They feel, hey, I've got what I need in my on my phone in my pocket. Don't need to put it on my wrist, and they worry about maybe damaging an Apple Watch.
You know, those Apple Watches, the Samsung Galaxy Watches, the brand new Pixel Watch, they are very rugged, very tough. And one of the coolest things that you get from having a wearable device is not only the sleep tracking, not only the prompts to get you to stand up and sit down. The other really good piece for us Catholics is the virtue of, you know, prudence. When should I take my phone out of my pocket? When should I turn off notifications? Sometimes you might be in a meeting or in a serious, quiet situation, but you want to stay in contact with your family. A wearable device gives you the discretion to glance very discreetly at your wrist instead of pulling a smartphone out of your pocket. And it gives you that discretion to check the notifications to make sure everyone's okay.
Mark, final moment, your thoughts on earbuds. What do you recommend?
You know, there's an excellent earbud. There's a company called Jabra that used to come from the telephonics, the desk phone headset industry. And over the last 10 years, they've done a great job making better and better, smaller and smaller earbuds. So Jabra, take a look at the Jabra earphones. They're on Black Friday sales for around $100 to $150. Great option and a great choice to compete with the AirPods from Apple, the Pixel Buds from Google, and Samsung has a variety of offerings as well.
And again, the price range?
From $100 to $150. These are true wireless earbuds, and what that means is they are wireless between the two earbuds and also wireless to your smartphone.
Well, Mark, you are a wealth of information, as always. Thanks so much for getting us ready for the holiday season, Black Friday, Cyber Monday, and all of the above. Thanks so much, Mark. Happy Thanksgiving to you.
Bring on the turkey. Thank you so much. Happy Thanksgiving.
Mark Mastriani, our tech expert for all things faith and tech. You can follow Mark on Twitter at GodLovesTech. We need to take a short time out when Morning Air continues. Bishop Donald Hyang, the Bishop of the Diocese of Madison, Wisconsin, is going to be with us to talk about religious freedom in light of the recent midterm election. So stay with us on this Tuesday before Thanksgiving as Morning Air continues here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
This is Morning Air, your home for faith, fun, and news in the morning.
And welcome back to Morning Air on the Memorial of St. Cecilia, Virgin and Martyr. I'm John Morales, along with Glenn Leverins and our producer, Sarah Tafoya. Good to be with you on this Tuesday before Thanksgiving. As you know, here on Morning Air, we love Scripture, and we love to share the Word of God with you every morning. That's why I bring you the power Scripture from the Playbook of Life every single day. But there are some folks who ask the question, is the Bible anti-science, and is God a moral monster? Did the stuff in the Bible actually happen? And if it did, why does it matter now? Join my colleague Cale Clark in an exploration of God in the Old Covenant with Old Covenant Controversies, an 8-episode examination of 4 key issues for today's spiritual seekers: evolution, history, violence, and sexuality. Deepen your understanding of the unusual and sometimes jarring events unfolding in the Old Testament and what they can tell us about God in the New Testament today. Tune into Old Covenant Controversies with Cale Clark on the Faith Explained, 12:30 p.m. Central, and on the podcast on the Relevant Radio app. A number this morning, if you want to be part of the program, 888-914-9149. Now, it's been exactly 2 weeks since November 8th and the midterm elections, which determined the makeup and the control of the U.S. Senate and House of Representatives, shaping policy and politics for the next 2 years and beyond. This election focused on issues of human life and dignity, the economy, democracy, immigration, public safety, just to name a few. The question is, how did religious freedom do during these midterm elections? What happened and what does it mean for Catholics and other Christians in future religious freedom battles? Joining us now is His Excellency Bishop Donald Hying, the Bishop of the Diocese of Madison, Wisconsin, to talk about religious freedom in light of the recent midterm elections. Bishop Hying is the fifth bishop of the Diocese of Madison, Wisconsin. Previously, he was the auxiliary bishop of the Archdiocese of Milwaukee and the bishop of the Diocese of Gary, Indiana. Your Excellency, Bishop Hying, thanks so much for joining us. Always a blessing to be with you, especially here a couple days before Thanksgiving.
Yeah, good morning, John. Happy Thanksgiving to you 2 days early.
Thanks.
It's a great time just to give thanks and praise to God for all the gifts that He's given us. And certainly one of those is the gift of religious freedom. And there is a connection between religious freedom and Thanksgiving because the pilgrims came to this new world looking for religious freedom. You're tired of the persecution that had dogged them in England. You know, they fled to Holland first. So our country is really founded on the shrine, we're enshrined on the gift of religious freedom. So many people came to this country looking for that gift to be able to live out in their conscience their worship of God. And it's certainly enshrined in our Constitution as well. So there's a connection between religious freedom and Thanksgiving when you think of why did the pilgrims come to America. And at the Second Vatican Council, the Council Fathers embraced the gift of religious freedom given to us and iterated that a human person cannot be forced to convert to a particular faith, that it's in the shrine of our conscience between us and God that we come to the truth. And so the Catholic Church really upholds the beauty of conscience, you know, that it's in that sacred inner place where God speaks to our mind and our heart and calls us to the truth. So today, I think religious freedom is challenged on many fronts. You know, when you listen to some of our political leaders speak, they'll talk about freedom of worship versus freedom of religion as if the two are the same, and they're certainly not. You know, freedom of worship is to worship God as we please, you know, what we certainly do at Mass, you know, most beautifully and profoundly. But religious freedom is broader than simply worship. You know, it's the right given to us by God, not the government, to act and speak in the public square as our conscience dictates. So when you think of the gift that the Catholic Church is, not only to her members, but really to the broader society, you know, that Catholic Church runs the largest medical system, healthcare system, education system, does more in terms of social services for the poor than any organization. We have both a right and a responsibility to be in the public square, and that's according to our conscience. You know, not given to us by the government, but it's an inalienable right given to us by God Himself.
Your Excellency, your thoughts on religious freedom and the role that it played in the recent midterm elections, what is your take?
You're not sure if it played really much at all. I saw a disturbing poll that said 48% of people that went to vote 2 weeks ago said their religious belief had nothing to do with how they voted. And I thought that was disturbing and sad, you know, that in essence they've bifurcated, you know, their political allegiances and decisions away from their religious convictions, when in fact everything we do, including how we vote, how we govern, how we seek the common good, you know, should come to us from our religious conviction and our relationship with God. So I'm not sure that it really had much of an influence at all for most people. And certainly when we see, you know, the whole sadness of many states that strengthened the quote-unquote right to an abortion, you know, we see it going the other way in some ways.
Yeah, it is very concerning with Prop 1 in California, Michigan, Vermont, states that enshrined abortion. It's all part of the mix in this day and age, the climate. from a Catholic perspective, what do you think are the biggest threats today in terms of religious freedom?
Yeah, there's currently, I think it's going to be an executive order if it's executed. It would be a mandate, really, to health insurance carriers, to healthcare institutions, and to healthcare workers to cooperate and participate in sex and gender transforming operations, and also perhaps abortion where it's legal. And there's no conscience clause in some of these considered actions. So that's very disturbing, because it seems that the government is trying to restrict individuals' abilities, institutions' abilities to really rightfully claim conscience as an exemption to some of these very restrictive laws that would force all of us to participate in evil, you know, things that the church condemns as anti-human. So that's a large threat. You know, when we think of the First Amendment, we often think that it's protecting government from religion. But when you look at its origins, you know, First Amendment was really to protect religion from government as well. You know, that, again, we have the freedom of conscience. We have the freedom of choosing our religion and acting by its principles in our conscience. And that's something that can never be taken away from us, because it wasn't given to us by the government in the first place.
When you think of some of other threats to religious freedom for Catholics and other Christians, you can't help but think of the mainstream media that is so biased to any kind of a Catholic or Christian perspective, as well as Hollywood, the artistic community, parts of big business, and especially in education, we see bias against the Catholic moral perspective.
Yeah, you remember comments from, you know, when various judges were being considered for office, you know, that their Catholicism or their participation in groups like the Knights of Columbus, in some people's eyes, disqualified them from public office, you know, as if somehow that would keep them from, you know, fulfilling the law or interpreting the law or being rightfully objective. So, yeah, there's a clear bias against religion in general, and certainly Catholicism in particular. And, you know, today we honor the feast of a martyr, St. Cecilia. And the martyrs really point us to that fundamental truth that Jesus is Lord and Messiah. And we just celebrated the Solemnity of Christ the King, obviously, this past Sunday. But if Jesus is Lord and Messiah, as he is, you know, if he is the King of the universe, then his sovereignty relativizes every other human power and principality. And you see that all over Paul's letters. So in the early church, you know, if you're caught out as a Christian, you were forced to either worship the emperor, you know, drop a little bit of incense on a coal in front of a statue of the emperor, or you would be killed, you would be martyred. And of course, we honor the men and women, girls and boys who gave up their life rather than their faith. And we call them martyrs, witnesses. So I think oppressive government of any kind always seeks to essentially diminish or even eliminate the power and force of religion, because religion will always point us to that sovereign power of Jesus, you know, that sovereign power of God that no government can take away. And we're in, you know, an old story in a sense, because this has been going on since the beginning of the church. It's just the newest iteration of it.
We're joined this morning by His Excellency Bishop Donald Hyen, the Bishop of the Diocese of Madison, Wisconsin. We're talking about religious freedom in light of the recent midterm elections and as we get ready for Thanksgiving Day. Bishop Hyen, just last week, the U.S. Senate voted 62-37 to pass a bill that would federally recognize same-sex marriage and provide legal protections for interracial marriages. How do you think that this so-called Respect for Marriage Act puts religious freedom in real jeopardy?
Yeah, the, you know, redefinition of marriage, you know, which goes back to the Supreme Court decision in 2015, is just another example of the government really tinkering with the natural law, with what's written in the human heart, and really normalizing things that are just not only against our religious faith, but also against natural law, against conscience. And the difficulty, I think, in our country today is that we have no common ethical or moral language to even have, you know, conversations about such issues as, you know, marriage or life. You know, when we think of abortion, euthanasia, same-sex marriage, all those issues, we can't even really talk about them because even things like natural law are dismissed as a religious construct. So you see increasingly the government legislating and making executive orders regarding things that really are not in the purview of the government to do. And yeah, that's just the latest example of that.
Some leaders in our country have said that this so-called Respect for Marriage Act really is nothing more than lip service to religious liberty and conscious rights. It doesn't offer any real protections for any real rights.
Yeah, a lot of that, I think, remains to be tested, you know, to see, you know, what are the consequences of resistance or none. Compliance, and you know, perhaps we'll see that in the near future with some of these laws and some of these executive orders. But I think it's a moment for us to gently but firmly, you know, lovingly but truthfully, you know, hold fast to our convictions, to our conscience, and to, you know, that sacred gift of religious freedom that the Lord has entrusted to us. And you look at the many, many martyrs that we honor, and you look around the world at all the places where our religious people, especially Christians, are tortured, killed, persecuted. So religious freedom, we realize, is a precious, fragile gift from God that needs to be embraced by us, courageously embraced and proclaimed and lived by us.
Well, I want to invite our listeners, if you want to talk about this gift from God of religious freedom, be part of this conversation that we're having on religious freedom and the midterm elections. We're taking your calls for His Excellency Bishop Donald Hine, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. We'll take a short time out as we continue our discussion with Bishop Hine. Stay with us. There's more to come on the other side.
This is Morning Air.
Morning Air.
Your home for faith, fun, and news in the morning.
Give a little bit, oh, give a little bit of your love to me.
And welcome back to Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. I'm John Morales. Thanks for joining us on this Tuesday before Thanksgiving as we continue our conversation with His Excellency Bishop Donald Hine, the Bishop of the Diocese of Madison, Wisconsin. We've been having a fascinating conversation about religious freedom, the importance of religious freedom, how it's really a gift from God, and it's something that we are talking about here in light of the fact that we just had the midterm elections just a couple of weeks ago. Bishop Hine, welcome back.
Thank you so much, John.
I wanted to share with you some words from our Holy Father, Pope Francis, from a few years ago, in which he said that there is a bloody martyrdom of Christians being killed for their faith, but there's also another martyrdom which takes place when religious freedom is unjustly limited. And you know, those words still apply today. I think that applies to our nation at this very time.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, if people could just understand that true religion is not a threat. You know, you hear the canard that, you know, all the wars, all the violence, all the conflicts in the world are because of religion. You know, somehow if we got rid of religion, then there'd be world peace and harmony. And you know, clearly the opposite is true. And we see that in, you know, ideologies like communism, Nazism, where if you take God out of the center of culture, if you take God out of the center of the human heart, then we also lose our humanity because we're only human in relationship to God. And so if we take God out, then it's simply all about power. You know, who can impose their will on the others? You know, who can claim the authority to make the decisions about the common good. So God really holds the line against barbarity, inhumanity, and just the complete collapse of civilization, I think. John Paul II looked a lot at the connection between what he would say cult and culture. You know, when we think of cult, we think of, you know, the scary group of people that, you know, brainwash our children, but that's obviously not what he means. You know, the original definition of cult is worship of God, you know, right worship. And it's no accident that in the etymology of English that culture is connected to cult. You know, so if we have God at the center, then culture, our human society, is going to be beautifully ordered around God at the center. When we take God out, then it really becomes simply about the imposition of power. And that's where religious freedom, the rights of conscience, really are the brakes on the false claims of any ideology, you know, to both safeguard the dignity of the human person, but also to safeguard the proper practice of religion, you know, which is always going to be the glue that holds any culture or society together.
Again, if you want to be part of the conversation that we're having on religious freedom, we're taking your calls for His Excellency Bishop Donald Hine, 888-914-9149. Karen is joining us this morning from New Jersey. Good morning, Karen. Welcome to Morning Air. You're on with Bishop Hine.
Good morning, Bishop Hines. I never spoken with you. I never knew about you, but now I know. You have spoken so beautifully. I'm a pre-K teacher here in New Jersey. I'm on my way to work. I parked my car, and I said, wow, it's a gift from God what you're saying, our religious freedom. And let's keep talking about that. And I wish and I pray for all our priests in the U.S. especially that they talk about this gift, more about it, because we have to preach it to those that are in need. Actually, in my school, my little ones, when they are taking a nap, I actually bless them with the, you know, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And I pray a little bit, you know, maybe a Hail Mary or maybe an Our Father, just quietly, because we have cameras around there. But you know what? That's what we have to embrace. And, you know, these kids are going to be the future of this world. And we have to do our best. Me as a teacher and as a mom, you know, we carry a lot of struggles. But you know what? God is with us, and we have to defend what it is good, what is the truth of all the truth.
That's beautifully said, Karen. What you're doing as a teacher is the most important thing in the world, because you're forming those young hearts and minds. And as you know, children are just naturally spiritual. They're just naturally connected to God and to the spiritual plane. So God bless what you're doing, and your words are well taken, you know, that we need to speak more, preach more about religious freedom.
Thanks so much, Karen. I do believe that there is a need for education at all levels. People need to understand the importance of this issue of religious freedom and really take it to heart, Excellency.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think just to realize, what does the Constitution actually say? It'd be beautiful if people read, too, what the Second Vatican Council said about religious freedom. Yeah, I think in the 19th century, you know, Pope Pius IX had some suspicions about religious freedom. I think the fear was that it would lead to indifferentism, you know, that every religion was equally the same with Catholicism. But it was really the American bishops at the Second Vatican Council that showed that here in this country, the Catholic Church could flourish under a constitution that protected religious freedom. And it was, you know, the theologian John Courtney Murray who really articulated the theology of that. So religious freedom is not about indifferentism. It's not to say that, you know, all of what we believe about the church as the fullness of the Church of Christ is just relative. But it is to say that it's in the shrine of the person's inner conscience that they come to faith, you know, that they come to know and love God. And no one can coerce that. I mean, and we know that from human experience. You can't force somebody to believe in God. You can't force somebody to be Catholic or Christian. You know, that has to be a free choice on their part. You know, that God gave us that freedom. And you see that already in Genesis, in the Garden of Eden, that Adam and Eve received freedom, even though God knew they would misuse it. until that freedom was given as a sign that we are made in the image and likeness of God. So our free will is really a sacred gift to us from God, meant to be formed, meant to be used properly, not for our own license, but for greatness and for holiness.
Your Excellency, we began our conversation talking about the pilgrims and how they came here to America seeking religious freedom. Can you share with us some words of encouragement as we approach Thanksgiving Day?
Yeah, I think just the gift of gratitude. Yeah, I think gratitude is the foundation of our lives as Christians. You know, so the fourth Thursday of November is way too small a time to express all of our gratitude to God. You know, so for a Christian, gratitude is really a way of life. And when we realize the enormity of the gifts that God has shared with us, you know, just the gift of life, gift of our salvation in Christ, the gift of the church, the sacraments, the scriptures, the moral teachings, and then piled onto that, just the people in our lives that love us, that care for us, you know, food, clothing, shelter. Our lives are simply filled with God's gifts. And how can we do anything but respond in gratitude and generosity to others as our response to the enormity of the Lord's abundance? And so I love Thanksgiving because it's simple, but it really gets to the heart of what it means to be a Christian, and that is to have a heart full of gratitude, of joy, and of praise. And when we see life that way, it saves us from, I think, self-pity, jealousy, selfishness, self-absorption. It frees us, you know, to realize everything in our life has been given by God. It really belongs to Him and is meant to be shared and used for the building up of the Lord's kingdom.
It really is a gift, the gift of gratitude. And I always remind our listeners that every day is a gift, so not just Thanksgiving Day. In the final moments that we have, Excellency, can you talk about, for us Catholics, the relationship that Thanksgiving Day has with the Holy Eucharist?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the word Eucharist means Thanksgiving. So we come to Mass to give thanks and praise to God, you know, ultimately for the gift of salvation in Christ, but for all that the Lord has given us. So, you know, when somebody says, I don't get anything out of Mass, I always say, what have you brought to it? Because when we bring a grateful heart to the Lord in Mass, then everything flows from that stance of gratitude.
I think that for you know, some folks, going to Mass on Thanksgiving Day is an annual tradition. I know it is in our family, as a way to say thank you, Lord.
Yeah, amen. Churches should be packed on Thanksgiving Day, right?
You would think so. Excellency, any other thoughts that you'd like to share here with our audience as we approach Thanksgiving?
I just wish all of our listeners a blessed Thanksgiving. And just to ponder for a moment on Thanksgiving Day, the wonder of your life, the fact that your existence is an expression of God's love for you, that you're not an accident, you're not a highly evolved animal, you know, that God has willed you and created you to be, and we're here to love Him and live for Him. And what a gift that is.
Absolutely. Bishop Hine, can you give us your blessing?
And may Almighty God bless all of our listeners, all of us, in the power of Jesus and in the grace of the Holy Spirit. And we ask this blessing in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate you being with us here in anticipation of Thanksgiving Day, a couple days away. It's a great reminder of the gift of religious freedom that we all have as Catholics. Thanks again for being with us, Bishop Hine.
Well, thanks, John. Happy Thanksgiving to all of you. God bless you.
Happy Thanksgiving to you. Bishop Donald Hine, the Bishop of the Diocese of Madison, Wisconsin. And now it's time for another episode of Glenn Story Corner.
We continue our series of Thanksgiving stories this week. Our story today is simply called Be Thankful. Even though I clutch my blankets and groan when the alarm rings each morning, thank you, Lord, that I can hear. There are those who are deaf. Even though I keep my eyes tightly closed against the morning light as long as possible, thank you, Lord, that I can see. There are many who are blind. Even though I huddle in my bed and put off the physical effort of rising, thank you, Lord, that I have the strength to rise. There are many who are bedfast. Even though the first hour of my day is hectic, when socks are lost, toast is burned, tempers are short, thank you, Lord, for my family. There are many who are lonely. Even though our table never looks like the pictures in the magazines and the menu is at times unbalanced, thank you, Lord, for the food we have. There are many who are hungry. Even though the routine of my job is often monotonous, thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to work. There are many who have no work. Thank you, Lord, for the gift of life. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 reminds us, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus.
What an uplifting message as we get ready for Thanksgiving Day. Thanks again, Glenn. Coming up next hour here on Morning Air, our resident lovologist, Martha Fernandez-Sardina, the founder of RememberYouAreLoved.com, will be with us to discuss thanking God for love and beginning again. Plus, Catholic apologist and convert William Albrecht will tell us about the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ in sacred scripture and sacred tradition. So stay with us. There is much more to come in the final hour of Morning Air here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.